This February 13, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Harker and I'll be presiding over tonight's meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Vineyard?
Here.
Goins is absent. Juarez?
Here.
Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Harker?
Here.
Thank you.
May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the January 9, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Heather? Congratulations. That's awesome.
All right, thank you.
All righty. Can I have a roll call vote to approve the amended minutes?
So moved.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Goins is absent. Juarez?
Present.
And Harker?
Yes. All right. Moving on to the citizen comments portion. Are there any citizen comments from the public regarding any topic that's not on tonight's agenda? Seeing as there is none, we'll move on. To the public hearing portion, there is one public hearing scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from the members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before the commission tonight. Public testimonies from persons wishing to speak may do so in favor of or against the request being heard, or to ask questions of the petitioner for the request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name and who you represent, if anyone. You're asked to sign in at the podium if you haven't already done so. If you plan to speak during tonight's public hearing as a petitioner, as a member of the public, please stand, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. Or not. Okay. Fantastic. It's just you guys. Okay. So.
The assumption is that we're telling the truth.
Yes.
Did you want to read the...
Yes, thank you. Can I have a motion to open the public hearing on PZC 2019-02?
So moved.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Goins? Sorry, absent. Juarez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
And Harker?
Yes. Okay. PZC 2019-02. The United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, petitioner is proposing a text amendment to Chapter 6, permitted and special uses, to add licensed massage establishments as a permitted use in the O office district. Currently, massage establishments are permitted use in only business districts.
All right. So this came out of the city as a whole, looking at the massage establishment licensing and running business. They're looking at amending different parts of district codes. This one specifically just for the zoning. We've switched to licensing people who have a single establishment, they just run it themselves. We didn't do that in the past, but now that we have a licensing process, they also have to turn in a commercial occupancy permit, which they technically have to do anyway, but a couple things came to light, and a commercial occupancy permit came in, and it was somebody that had an existing business for many years in the old office district. While we were looking through, we were kind of understanding, trying to figure out why is it not permitted in the old office district. It's a personal service, just like any medical professional, chiropractors, other professional services are all permitted outright in the old office district. So it seemed reasonable to us that we would also have massage establishments, as licensed, allowed, and permitted in the office. So that's just the recommendation. It's just this the table, the uses table, would just get changed from a dash to permitted.
Okay. Any questions?
Buildings in town are zoned office right now. Three-story building will be by the post office.
I can't tell you all off the top of my head. I know the Kendall County Government Campus's office. There's a couple things off of 34 off the top of my head, but
like maybe we're just having a physical space there.
That outlot that goes to where the solar farm would then be its office. Mm-hmm. You typically will see the office because it's in the same use category as is the business. You see that along 47, 34. They're usually not in the interior of the community, so they don't want to throw there. Just for you to see a B3 or B2.
Any other questions? Okay. Would you like your responses entered into public record?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Seeing that there's all the testimonies done with this, since all the public testimony regarding this petition is being taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony and this public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Vineyard?
Yes.
Jerez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes. Okay. Moving on to unfinished business. PZC 2018-18, Marker Inc. petitioner has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendrick County, Illinois, requesting an amendment to the Heartland Subdivision Planned Unit Development to reduce the interior side yard setback from 20 feet to 10 feet on lot 187 in the subdivision. Additionally, the petitioner is requesting to increase the maximum allowable height of the permitted fence in a business district from 6 feet to 8 feet. The real property is located at the southwest corner of McHugh Road and Route 34 intersection in Yorkville.
Hi, Dave Kramer here on behalf of the petitioner. I just did not want to show up and you think we didn't care about it. As the staff has pointed out in the report to you, both they and us, from my side and my client, Greg's, have attempted numerous more contacts to Casey since last meeting. Even the city can't browse them. So we figured we'd go to the March meeting with your indulgence, so that if they don't get back to us by then, you know, we'd ask you for the final recommendation to approve it. But we're still willing to work with them doing the joint driveway, and they'll talk to us.
Okay. Excellent. Do we vote on that now?
You just need a motion to continue.
Oh, okay. Can I get a motion to continue PZC 2018-18 to the March Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
Second.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Jerez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Harker?
Yes.
Motion's I do want to say, having been at a zoning seminar today, Mr. Markham now knows everything there is to know about zoning, so he can answer all of your questions.
Outstanding. Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan.
Okay, moving on.
And one postscript. The gentleman who gave the seminar said lawyers shouldn't do the presentation. I'm like, wow, it's trying to get me out of work.
New business, PZC 2019-01, Boomba Inc. petitioner is seeking final plat approval to resubdivide lot 3 of the Yorkville Business Center, an approximately 21-acre parcel located in the southwest quadrant of Illinois Route 47 North Bridge Street and Boomba Boulevard. This parcel was part of the original inland and F.E. Wheaton annexation agreement approved by the City of Yorkville in 1995. Currently, the parcel is improved with two buildings zoned B3 General Business District, utilized by Boomba Inc. for their custom athletic apparel business operations.
Good evening. My name is David Schultz with HR Green. I'm the engineer representing Boomba.
formerly was at the meeting. The long and short of this adventure, after spatial planning and operations, Puma came across, basically they have two buildings on one lot. So we need to address that regardless. And then we came up with, they came up with the request of creating additional lots to build upon in the future. At this time, there's nothing planned, but we went ahead and coming through this process, they just subdivide a lot once and meet everyone's needs. So if you have any questions or...
So there's already a building on proposed lot 2 and proposed lot 3. Right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. The original lot was lot 3 of the subdivision, and we're breaking it into 4. And lot 2 and lot 3 would contain the two buildings that you see out there today.
I'm ignorant. Why do you need to have one lot?
It's required.
It's compliant with the zoning.
So it's just quiet.
Yeah, and at the time it functioned, they used it before, it worked. It's only one owner.
What would you do with lots 1 and 4?
The potential of those would be to develop, a B3 use, and that's the main purpose.
Okay.
There's nothing planned at this time, just to have that ability in the future.
Absolutely.
Anybody else have any other questions? Okay. Can I get... What was that?
Jeff asked the right question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to start saying, does anybody, in addition to Jeff, have any questions? Okay, can I get a motion to approve the PZC 2019-01? Final plat.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Jerez?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. Motion is approved. PZC 2019-02, the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, petitioner, is proposing a text amendment to Chapter 6, permitted and special uses to add licensed massage establishments as a permitted use in the O Office District. Currently, massage establishments are permitted use in business districts only.
Same as the public hearing.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless you guys have the other...
Okay. May I get a motion to approve PZC 2019-02?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Jerez?
Yes.
And Harker?
Yes. Motion is approved. PZC 2019-04, Forest Preserve District of King County petitioner, is requesting a map amendment to rezone a 5-acre portion of the property from F District Farming to F1 District Rural Residential in Kane County. The entire 82.71-acre property is located between Galena Road and Jericho Road on Jeter Road, which is located northwest of Yorkville. The property is located within 1.5 miles of Yorkville municipal boundary, which allows the opportunity to review and provide comments to Kane County.
All right. So this was a mile and a half review that was brought to us back in the summer. It is within a mile and a half of the city, although it is outside of our planning boundary, but I'll get to there. This piece of property is bought by the Kane County Forest Preserve. It's off of Jeter Road to the northwest of town. It took a phone call and some research to understand how changing from farm to farm rural is different. For the most part, Kane County is following a directive in their comprehensive plan to preserve the rural farmhouses, but not ruin other developable sites potentially. it's more of a clerical cleanup for them. So they're subdividing off some of the houses they want to save, let residents live there, keep some extra acreages, but now the extra 70 acres or... At this time, this one's probably not going to get developed. It's just something they're doing across the county. So it's sites that may be near somewhere that someone might want to develop. It gives them an opportunity to preserve the historical rural character, but also give opportunity for those to develop. So they're really sectioning off just 5 acres. They're going to rezone that house in the F1 because the F district doesn't allow residential homes. So... now this one will be completely, you know, permitted, won't be non-conforming at all, and then the other property will still be in the farm. And then in terms of our future plans, like I said, it's outside of our planning boundary, so we do not have a future land use for it. It's just one of those things that is very close to town and our planning boundaries, within a mile and a half of our city limits, so King County gives the opportunity. So we want to bring it in front of you to see if there's any comments or concerns.
Okay. Excellent. Anybody have any comments or concerns?
Besides Mr. Olson?
No? No? Okay. So this one, we just say that we're...
you don't have any concerns.
Okay.
...for the city council.
We have a motion to forward this to city council with no concerns.
So moved.
Second. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Jorge?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Parker?
Yes. Motion is approved. All right. Additional business.
Just updates on city council action. If you have any questions, I don't know if you can tell us that. The second one is Planning and Zoning Commissioner Training Series. So we had requests from some of the members to dive in a little bit more deep when we do our training. Typically, we just talk about zoning and the process of what the Plan Commission is, but we wanted to give kind of some background on some of the areas that we use technically-wise to review plans and requests for changes in zoning and land use. And so this was actually brought up by Jeff. And Jeff requested to do the first of the series. So we're trying to do them. I didn't want to put exact meeting dates because you never know if you have everything on the agenda. But we're doing one each season. And the first series is construction plan basics for planning and zoning. Commissioners, all these are geared towards you. There's some models out there that we've looked at from the APA, which is the American Planning Association, to kind of get our bearings on what information that's appropriate for the layperson, but also give you a basis of what it is that you do. And then Jason can talk about the other series that we came up with.
We would have in the summer, you have Brad from the engineer coming in to talk about stormwater management and what goes into his reviews and what they look for. A lot of times we get questions on, like, those developments here, how are they handling water? He really delves into that. So that was the summers. In the fall, Christy and I are looking to do some type of urban design, something that's new, and we have to keep up. We're both AICP certified, so we have to keep up our credits and understand what's new in the field. So it'll be kind of one of those opportunities for us to tell you about new things that might be coming down the road, new urbanism, new things. They're happening. Finally,
Lynn, this is for you. I don't think you know this is on the agenda.
But for the winter, we would like to have Lynn do a presentation based on economic development, the basics, what goes into what she does, how she reviews things.
Yes.
Right. We gave you a year lead time.
You have
a lot of
time. Winter. Are you going to do 2019 in review?
Winter of 2019.
No, in 2019, we're doing kind of a primer series for our plan commissioners to kind of understand what it is that we do behind the scenes that arrives in their lap to then make a decision on. So Jeff is going to talk about construction plan basics. Brad is going to talk about civil engineering basics, primarily have to do with stormwater management. And then Jason and I will talk about urban design, and we recruited you to talk about economic development, which is a big component of when we bring projects, how is it going to affect the economics of the city as a whole?
So you come to meetings and I'm not
right.
Oh, see, I love my talking to this is my favorite meeting to come to, actually.
Yes. So if you guys have any requests for other topics, that we just thought through this out there for the first year, but if you have anything that you'd like to talk about, feel free to email us, talk to us at a meeting.
You know, I got some friends that pull it out.
Sure.
I don't know how you do, and I figured that if you something to Jason, maybe you can put CC in on the email, figure out what you want.
Sure thing.
Are we going to do class?
Yes.
Sure. I can bring mine.
And if there's any expertise you all have,
yes.
Legal expertise, yeah. Fire expertise, I think that would be great to do a session on that so that when projects ooh. Come in, you know, we can talk about the impact that it would have on the fire district.
I think that would be a good opportunity. Are we going to do variances? I mean, as far as, like, what's really problem?
We can do that on the legal.
Certainly, yes.
That would be, like, illegal.
We can go back to
yeah, more
that.
The legal aspect, like, the attorney was talking about.
Sure.
You
should use some
lawyers. Yeah. I could rip off all the stuff in the seminars.
Right. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, we can definitely do that if you want to get more specific into
the I mean, that's one of the things we're doing. And there's been some cases that are...
The newer cases, right, especially with the sign. Signs are a big deal. Jason and I go to conferences every year around March or April, so that's why we planned ours out in the fall, so that whatever we learn from that, we can bring. So
that one's pretty open. If there's certain topics at the time that you want to discuss, discuss them.
Piggybacking on that, we do pay a lot of attention to everything going on in Tribute Grove.
As far as?
Just the 700 acres?
Yeah.
Is
there any lessons to be learned from your experience for us? I only found out about it.
Is that the one with the water issue?
No, it's the warehouse.
It's 760 acres that somebody owns, and they were doing a big PUD, so they had to go through a public hearing process. Yes. And probably 200-300 people. They had to rent out Wabatsi to show, and they had about they had 3 months of public hearing. Just for the
airport.
Yeah.
It's 88. The attorney was full four-way.
Oh, yeah.
So they own all the land around it.
It was the Crown Group. And they are typically known that they do a lot of, like, warehouses and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really being driven by that interchange.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was kind of heard all the stuff about a week ago. I was with Nancy, and they were talking about it. I was like,
Location.
Absolutely.
It's really, yeah. But it was being proposed to be, from what I understand, industrial and some residential, but there was going to be a big warehouse.
They couldn't have picked a bigger sign to post a public hearing. It's like a 4x8 sheet of plywood painted yellow.
It's like,
it definitely catches your eye.
Yeah. The sign down by the river for
the ill-fated, undefined restaurant?
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's one lesson learned, right? I know there's a budget.
We do have signs that we provide. Yeah. There's lessons to be learned, but one thing is no site is the same and no public hearing is the same. And when you think you have a slam dunk on something, that's when people come out. And then when you think something's very controversial, no one shows up. So it depends on who the neighbors are and what the project is. So it's never like, oh,
well, I think that was the problem with Sugar Grove. You had people from Hannaford Farms and all those. Mm-hmm. Oh, we moved out here to, be country bumpkins.
Storefronts to go along with the rooftops. You can't just take the frickin' money from the rooftops.
For the most part, if you guys want to learn something, maybe listen to their public meetings.
Yeah, right.
They have three of them, so I'm sure the commissioners have.
They put them on.
I do not know the
need to revisit the air dome.
Oh my gosh.
I read the newspaper article about that.
That was my first meeting as a way. Yep, right. It was like, oh my god.
Was it the dome? Or?
Yeah, the dome.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
I missed the dome.
Hey, since we're on that topic, has anybody been to the new sports bar?
No.
It is beautiful on the inside. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people, you know, are very, well, I don't like the color, I don't like this. I think it really, for the most part, I mean, I'm not going to say it's camouflage, but it kind of blends, you know.
What about the beer people?
The beer people? Oh, yeah, yeah. But the inside of that sports dome barn, it is spectacular. Well, it's not really a dome. It's more, you know, it's kind of like, it's shaped like a big bar.
Yeah, there's a little.
I thought you said there's a bar.
No, that's the one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. They sell beer. Yeah. I'm like, you guys sell beer here? They're like, yeah, sorry.
Just the year review. I know last year I had it in the packet. I didn't get a chance to go through it because we had a really long meeting. So I'm just going to make this quick for you. It's important for us to kind of go through the year as staff members to know lessons learned, where we are in our ordinances, is something, you know, standing out that we have a lot of applications and petitions. And we do that internally. And just probably the last 5 or 6 years, we started doing these as part of the PCC being able to see, you know, what it is that you did. Because sometimes you think back and like, wow, we had 19 cases? I don't even remember that. So that's the point of this. And we published this as well. So the contents of this report basically deal with the four key areas that we deal with as a community development department: building development, land use planning, comprehensive plan, which is that future plan, and any goals that we have for the department and as the city as a whole. So we'll talk about all the things underneath, but definitively building and development permits, which is the building division of the community development department. Land use planning is really kind of what we would call current planning or short-term planning, which has to do with entitlements that come before you. Jason typically handles all those rezoning variances. And then comprehensive planning is long-range planning, which is what I typically handle, the comprehensive plan, the future overarching projects that have to do with other departments. And then future goals, that's where you guys come in. You kind of give us a direction on where you want the community to kind of go towards, and you have, by authority of the state statute, the charge of the comprehensive plan and enacting those goals.
I have a question.
Sure. Go back.
The manual, the neighborhood design manual, is that done?
That will be coming to you.
It'll be going to city council.
Will we see it?
You've seen it.
You've already seen it.
We did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was in
the comprehensive plan?
It was in the meeting that you missed.
You missed.
Last month.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I'll send you all a final copy.
I'm talking about it and I forgot to ask
you.
That
was not to show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's one meeting and nothing happened. It's online, so if you do want to go back, you can go back to.
Oh, I think Jason's
going to be so. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. But we have time before we go to city council, so if you...
There's a couple things, I guess.
Feel free to just email them to me, and I'll, because I'm finishing off.
I'll have to go back and look at it.
I'll have the final going to city council by Friday.
Okay, great. So,
and I can wait if you're going to be on Monday or Tuesday.
Or you can always show up to city council.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and
ask for a change.
And,
there you go.
Here.
So, the executive summary just goes over some of this kind of smattery, but in general, building permits are up, foreclosures are down. There's been a slight downtick in our entitlement requests. This year, there were about 14, I believe. I'll get into that later. Last year, we had a lot more, but it seems to be stabilizing the type of requests that we're getting. The majority of them were text amendments, which is a good sign, saying that our zoning is working well because you're not getting a lot of variances or requests for special use in that sense. Not that that would be an indication necessarily, but we are we're cleaning house, cleaning up some of the, you know, issues like tonight with massage parlors. So we're tweaking it, cleaning it up, refining it, and that's always a good sign to see.
Are there any other long-term code?
we're going to get to that. Actually, that's one of our goals. So the next thing I was talking about, in implementation of the comprehensive plan, we're going to be doing our UDO, which is our Unified Development Ordinance, which we're going to do shortly, because we'll be kicking that off in March, hopefully. On the 26th of February, we have a candidate for a firm to do that project. It's going to be about $140,000 investment that the city will be making over 3 fiscal years. And the firm is House of Levine. They've done a lot of UDOs, not just here in Illinois, across the country. They're renowned. They've won a lot of planning awards for.
What is that?
Okay, I'm going to get to it. Okay. A UDO is where you take the entire code, so not just the zoning portion, which is housed in one title, and not just the subdivision control, which is housed in another title. You bring it all together. So when a person looks at your ordinance, they know what they have to do for building, what they have to do for landscaping, what they have to do for improvements, for infrastructure. They know all of that in one section. I want to build a house. This is what I need to do from A to Z. So you're not flipping through this title and then you miss that title. Signage is over here, landscaping is over there. It's all comprehensive. It's in one area. It's user-friendly. What we're doing different, not that we're aiming to be necessarily different, but we want to kind of stand out because we're doing a smart code. And what a smart code is you'll have a paper copy, but you'll have a dynamic online version so that you can not only go and see what your zone is. You can do calculations. All right, my lot is this large. What are my setbacks? How much land do I have to work with? You know, what will it require me to have if I put my building a little bit too big? Will it require me to have a variance? So this is how my lot is set up.
That's awesome.
So this is what we're trying to do. This is step one in the progress. We sit down, Jason and I, the department as a whole, we kind of have a vision for our department that falls in line with the entire city. And our vision for our department is to be paperless and to be on the cutting edge of technology. It makes our lives easier. It's easier for residents. You know, a lot of answers to questions get done that way on the back end. But the next progression to this, when we have a smart code, is we will be able to have a dynamic site where people can go on and physically plan out their site. So if a developer comes in and they're purchasing a large swap, what can they physically do and then be able to see a reproduction of that? Jason can talk a little bit more about that program because he will be the one that will be implementing that. And it's, do you want to give a brief
So the smart code that we're going with, the company that's partnering with House of Levine, they have a lot of modules, and we're starting out with basic ones of just text editing, you know, stuff like when you're reading something, you can hover over a word and it'll pop up the definition for you so you don't have to flip back. We're doing a calculator, like the bulk regulation calculator. I have this size lot, how much lot coverage? What is lot coverage? Right? You can just type in your numbers. Down the road, we're looking at more adding our mapping GIS features into it, so where you can go to your parcel, click on it. Ideally, I want to start getting into 3D modeling as well, to where like Hartman comes in and they say, oh, I want to put a 3-story building there. You'll be able to kind of look and see, one, you can type in your bulk regulations, the building you want there, and it will populate something like that in that code according to your zone, and you may be able to see the buildings around you as well.
Would it also, like in that instance, put a big red circle on the slide?
In a way, it would highlight and say, oh, you need a variance, and then it'll send you to a link to the variance application.
Cool.
So a lot of
that. The mapping, of the, that's end game.
Yeah.
For this 3-year fiscal period and the UDO itself, we're going to be doing just the dynamic search. We're going to be doing the calculator and then their base package. If it's a hit and things are going well, we're going to start rolling in and asking for per year different modules.
So that's what we're getting.
How much does that speed up the process of everything? I mean,
man,
I know that there's a lot laying out there, but
I think we weed out a ton of questions.
Oh my gosh.
And it's something that we can utilize during these meetings, too.
Yes.
You know, if you guys have it on your laptop, you know, you can pop it up, because it'll just be a link on our website, and then we can, you know, do some demonstrations, too, on, okay, they're asking for a 60-foot tall building. This is what it would look like.
Yes, they don't have
one. One call you. One beef I always say, I'm like, we're always municipal. It's not ours, but other countries. I can never find a permit fee schedule with the actual permit I'm looking for. Right? I waste so much time trying to track down some nice person in the office and say, show me where they're going to permit fee schedule. So if they have looking it up, you're trying to populate what you're doing, brings up the fee schedule too, that'd be fantastic.
That is a great comment. I hadn't thought about that. And just so you know, you guys will be the key panel that will be implementing this and reviewing what it is. So they will do a presentation before you, and you will be the committee that they come to intermittently with their revisions and changes. So you have a working hand in that as well.
That's awesome.
And then under buildings and development, this is just showing there's a steady trend since about 2010, building permits ticking up. Right now, we are seeing over 200 on average in the last 2 years. Right now we were at 260. Last year we were at 166, something like that. So we're getting close. Stability goal for the city is around 101 persons per year. That's what the comprehensive plan stated. So we're a little bit high above, but if we stay a little bit, as long as we're around that 100, we'll get through our inventory in the next 6 years of all the available lots.
All the available lots in the next 6 years.
All of the platted, so not available, just all of the platted that we had at the time we did the 2016 conference and plan. They laid out an 8-year time frame for us to absorb all of those lots at 100.
You think that's good?
We are kind of a little bit ahead of it.
Oh, right. Nice.
2 years, it sounds like.
Well, yeah. 216 to 218.
Correct. So if we keep at the pace that we're at, we'll probably hit it before 6 years. But if we do the 100 per year, as they stated, we hit it exactly.
Does that include grand reserve?
Only the platted lots, not the unplatted areas. So anything that was shovel ready, we kind of narrowed that down. Because there are some that have approved plans, but they haven't been final platted, so really narrow it down to those that are shovel ready. We talk about what the average total construction value was. We're doing pretty well there. And what's interesting about this, the build program ended in December of 2017. That's when the last application could be submitted. We issued our last permit at the end of 2018. We have 428 permits over the life of that program, which was 2012.
Down, you know if you're down as a percentage?
Down as a percentage of
permits divided by time versus when the build program is in effect?
Well, we're up because if you look at pre-recession is anything before 2008, so we didn't really calculate into that. The build program came in 2012. So we had that gap between 2008 and 2012. We were doing about 40 permits. We're trying to get our footing. Our fees were kind of high. And so in 2012, we did build, when you start seeing, you see it start to take a little bit, dip a little bit there, but then steadily kind of.
Do you think that build program is worthwhile?
I absolutely think it was successful. We had a 98% favorable rating from everyone participating in the program. And in my opinion, I don't think we would have the 428 permits that we had if we not had the firm, did that program.
I think on top of that, too, we did an annual report. I only remember this from 2012 or 2013, but compared to kind of surrounding communities, we outpaced. Looking at their rate versus our rate, during the build program from 12 to 16, definitely outpaced.
At that time, there were so many short sales and foreclosures. There were only so many people that were going to build a house, and it really enticed them to pick us over another community because because other people had other options. There were a lot of other options. So, you have to try to grab those people.
And there were ripple effects of the program, too. Menards saw an uptick in people coming in, buying flooring or, improvements to their home. So I think it was a worthwhile program, definitely. Foreclosure, that's something that we track, too, in-house because, again, it was a big thing during the recession. Affecting our housing stock. So I've done this since 2010. And so if you look at foreclosure data, just from last year, again, we're down another 8%. We had 66 new filings in 2017 compared to 61 that we had this year. But if you try to kind of, there's no rhyme or reason to the foreclosure. Last year in 2017, or the year before last, which is indicated in red, you saw the highest number of foreclosures were in the middle of the year and the end of the year. But then in 2018, you're seeing the highest of them are in the beginning of the year. So it's kind of, I don't know what triggers it. I don't know whether it has affected it. People can't get out there, you know, to serve or to inspect. I don't know. But there's no, we can find any definitive pattern on, you know, why they uptick in certain times.
Maybe it's layoffs in certain times.
Corporations
But think about there's a lead time for foreclosures too. Because you were served at that time, they could have been default for a year or two before that. So it's just an anomaly. I just was always trying to track it to see if I could kind of pinpoint or do some type of statistics and on there. And then we broke them down by ward, and as you can see, Ward 3 tends to have the most foreclosures. They were down from the previous year.
Where is Ward 3?
So it has Bristol Bay.
And, okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
So,
Home Depot.
And, yeah, and Bristol Bay, again, was the highest
Home Depot,
one.
Mine, Home Depot, Kylan Street, okay. Whispering Meadows.
Okay.
So Bristol Bay always tends to be the highest because of the mix of housing.
Yeah.
So you've got the condos, you've got the townhomes and the single family. Yeah. So that's where it typically is. But it did decrease from last, the previous year. The previous year they had 11 new files in Bristol Bay, and then it dipped this year to about 8. And you have this category that's other. You're like, oh my God, well, add all these up. It's 27, and then this is 33. And that 33, it has all the other subdivisions that are big, major subdivisions that we're tracking. So they have Collins Ridge, has a few, Sunflower Estates has a few. Then you have some spread out through just general Yorkville area and downtown area. So we didn't want to continue to break it all down. But
what ward is the most populous?
Ward 3.
Is it? Okay.
Ward 3.
That's what I thought.
Over a course of years, it's been Ward 3.
All that area 20 years ago was farmland, is now 8 subdivisions.
And this just talks about the housing type, and as you can imagine, single family tends to be the highest because that's the highest percentage of our housing stock is single family. It did uptick a little bit in 2017, but then you had one industrial that was in foreclosure, and we'll just keep an eye on that. And then if you look at the comparison just of 2013 to 2018, again, there's that fluctuating pattern. This is by month, so you can see which months have the highest trend, and you know, just indicating that first half of the year for 2018 was the pivotal part. And then we'll just talk about foreclosures in 2019, just in Yorkville, but Kendall County for a couple of years was listed in the top 5 counties in Illinois with the highest number of foreclosures. This is the first year we did not make that list. Last year, we were number 4, and we had one out of every 825 homes was in foreclosure, which was, you know, wasn't as high as when it was one out of 300 at one point. We were one out of 300.
Wow.
But we fell off the top 5 list. That's good. And just in Illinois, to give you perspective, one out of every 1,400 some homes is in foreclosure.
Weren't we the fastest growing county?
We sure were.
That makes
sense.
It totally makes sense, yes.
That doesn't surprise me.
No.
Yeah. With a boom that big, when it gets bad, the fall off of
you.
Yeah.
Get out of here quicker.
2010.
I expect a lot more growth, especially with business.
But you can see it started stabling out the last 4 years, so we've been consistent for the last 4 years, which is really good. And part of development, we've got the engineer here from this project. This is The school is Northfield Christian, so it has been constructed. It's open. I think it's a good positive to the city. You're coming in from 126, you see the beautiful building, and then moving forward, we're doing a connection off Ashley, and this is, they're actually, they sold the lots in Unit 1. Cable Bay has pulled four permits.
Four
permits already. We've got three houses.
So the road is going to get fixed now. Was there a target at one time there?
Yeah, so the road for Ashley.
How many homes are sold?
Oh, no, we took that target out. So it's just a deadline, date of November 2021. Mm-hmm. So we've been working with they on the schedule. They're on the schedule. So the first.
So they need it sooner now?
No, that's their deadline. Okay. And they're planning to meet their deadline.
I mean, it's a need.
Well, it was a requirement from the original amended annexation agreement, and the city wants to be able to acquire it. And I'm sure it'll help the students. You know, I
just wondered if the school is, you know, getting more kids. And
I don't think.
Is that becoming an issue for them?
Very small. It's not driven by the school enrollment right now.
Okay.
And it was originally based on phase two connection. There's a phase two to this subdivision as well.
Right.
Well, it hasn't been subdivided, but we're going to see a lot of activity down there, so that's going to be a good thing. Another major development, and Lynn can talk a little bit more about this, so the water park opened up two new areas of their park, Willoughby, or something. It's nice little amusements, but they had, I think it was two more slide areas, and that brought in a lot more of the younger kids.
Yes.
To separate them from the larger area of the park, which has worked out great for them.
Yeah.
But they're also looking to do an expansion to the south on 20 acres. So if you have any questions about
that. How about economic development around there?
God, that would be great.
What's going on?
So we would love to see more economic development around there. The one thing, though, you have to remember about the water park is that it is only open 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, for instance, about a week, last Thursday, I had a meeting with the owner of the new Holiday Inn Express and his business sales director over at the water park talking about how they could work together. But if you're a hotel, if you're going to build a hotel, if you go there, they're open from Memorial Day to Labor Day. They're not even open on weekends after Labor Day. It is like 87 days. So, while you know we'll continue to see things happening, the water park itself, unless something landed over there that was open more during the year, more days.
Almost like that athletic complex.
Yes. Yeah, you know, that was something that's in our comp plan, that maybe the city can build upon that area and do some.
That area would look so different today if that went through.
Oh, yes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yes. Well, that was a different story.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
That was a strange lady, so. But the water park has, you know, big plans for that 20 acres to the south, and they actually had it. They closed on it. So.
Weren't they originally going to have an indoor water park?
Oh, yeah.
A hotel there at one time.
But there was a couple people that talked about it, but it was only talk. But Dave is actually working with the water park to expand the parking for this year. So the parking that they have, that is grass area and their original property, they're going to be paving that this year. So they need more parking. Because there was a situation that happened this past year where they had a really bad situation where people were parking on 47 at least in a conference. So,
wow. I was going to ask if they were going to pave all the way from the parking lot up to the shoulder of 47, but I guess not.
Basically, what we found is land use entitlements they vary, but mostly we're looking at 28% for this year. This is only talking about 2018. The highest number of tax amendments, like I said, it's cleaning up. It was our opportunity to look at areas that we missed or that need to be refined, that we are constantly working on. And that's a good thing that you will see that. The other areas that kind of, you know, were low or zoning appeal, which is good. You don't see those all the time, but we did have one of those crop up. But other than that, it's pretty consistent on what you're going to see for a community of our size growing, which is pretty good. And then we look at the number of requests. So between 2010 and 2018, we had 120 requests that came from the various boards. So, and remember, between 2010 and 2015 or 16, we had two committees. We had the ZBA, mm-hmm. we had the Planning Commission, and then now we combine them to the two since 2016. But if you see, the highest year of requests we had was 2015. That was a big year. That was a lot of new development was happening, not just in the subdivisions, but you know, commercial and industrial. A couple of industrial sites came on. Yorkville Business Center. Yeah, that's what that big uptick was. Other than that, we're pretty consistent. This past year, we did 14. And then this just talks about historic as well, just percentages of, if you're ever interested, dive into that a little bit more, just see where a lot of our entitlement requests come. And then now we're in a comprehensive plan. We have a comprehensive plan document. It has a horizon of 10 years. We're 2 years into it. We're trying to see what accomplishments we've made. And we have, this is like the worst slide ever, and I apologize. But if you can, I've blocked it off by the goal area, and then this is kind of what we initiated, what was the strategy. But if you look at it, there's one, two, three, four, about a handful. We've completed that, the ones in the yellow. So we've ticked off about, you know, a good chunk of four out of the 10 or so, and then we have three that are in progress. So we're making headway. Because they blocked off, when they gave us the timeline, these should be done within the first 2 years, this should be, you know, beyond the mid-range, long-range, ongoing. So Jason and I have been consistent, we've been ticking them off, and you're going to see some more coming up. And address this when we go for budget talks as well, so that we can, you know, get some things on the budget. This just talks about one of the big things we're talking about was the downtown overlay district. You all will be seeing that soon. That was a project that was started in 2017. It should have been done by the end of 2018, but because of time frames and staff changes and from the consultant, we will be bringing that before you. April.
Go back to the other, that previous slide. That one. Hey, just real quick, I want to say something. You, Jason, Christy, fabulous job. Thank you for doing that, because that's what we're seeing. You know, I mean, when we go downtown, you can see this stuff. It's awesome.
Oh, you're going to see some more.
That's so fantastic.
We're really excited. Jason and I are really excited about the downtown, because once this goes into effect, this will be codified. The master streetscape won't be necessarily, but the form base will. So the master streetscape will give us our tools and going forward in a public way. But the form base code will. We'll be, you know, working our way through implementing. You may see an uptick of text amendments after that, but we're hoping we kind of timed it so that it'll be, you know, slide right into the UDO. So if we find out any, you know, ticks or anything, it'll be taken care of through that UDO adoption process, which will be about 2 years. So we're pretty excited about that. But based on that, what we're doing, and this is Jason's neighborhood design manual, is another thing that we ticked off on the list that will be that'll be the basis of a facade program that we are you know, asking money for in the budget.
Just sold us. Oh,
isn't it? So that this
is target.
Oh, wow, nice. We got a good picture of that. That's something that we'll be asking for in the budget, so that we can program it around that to forward these plans. And then Lynn was very instrumental with one of our goals as a city that we need to promote industrial development. So Lynn, as our economic development coordinator consultant, you know, we had to have some ideas on how can we reach out to our industrial users, let them know we're here, that we have opportunities for them, if they zoning assistance or small business loans, and they have that, or just help with the sanitary district. So we did a kind of a forum, it was a focus group. We did it back in November, I think it's about November. We had a really good turnout as far as the people that showed up to give information, and it's on our website, and we ticked off that goal, and that was part of the comprehensive plan as well. You can go to the website and look at the material that was there. And then at the end, these are future goals for 2019. And this is important. Like I said, UDL, that kicks off in March. And this is going to combine all the development standards in a single easy-to-read document, and it'll be a smart code. The downtown and strategic planning, there were four goals that I'm requesting in the budget. So if you talk to your alderman and tell them, yeah, your community development really needs this, and those goals are, we're going to do a downtown tactical urbanism plan. Mouthful, but what it is we've located four sites. Is it four, Jason, or three?
Three
sites in the downtown. And what we're proposing to do is a beach. You want to talk about
it? Yeah, it actually came about during the planning process. Technical urbanism is really like doing something small that gives a space a little bit more of like activity. You know, I want to walk it. Oh, that's neat. I didn't know I could do that. So the new urbanism was the UNO.
Tactical urbanism.
The new urbanism, they were running a contest for tactical urbanism last year. I put together some ideas, ran by Christine Barton, and other, you know, and went to present. They were giving out money to the wardens. I did not win. But we have these ideas now. We had values for them, so we put them in the budget to do them. There was a beach box near the river to where it'd be just like a kind of a bigger sandbox with just a table and some chairs.
Adirondack chairs, umbrellas.
You know, maybe a little toy box with some nice toys for kids to play, make sandcastles. There was a large chessboard that we would just make out of paper blocks and get some. And that was also near riverfront.
It was near riverfront.
And then I had a giant kickball pool. And that would be up by the Van Emmon Center, which we own. And there's that big hill there. There's a big flat plate of grass. And it would just be like a big box. You know, put down some fake turf, some holes in the ground, and you can play billiards, but it's kickballs.
And it's only $2,500.
For all three.
Right. And we're like $2,500.
It's these small little things. It's tactical that you can like...
Cool.
Start to create it.
So it's a building block. So we'll have that. Mm-hmm. We'll have the signage, which will be finally going up this year. But then we'll have, we're requesting $60,000 in the budget for wall murals. So we would do a mural on the side of the
Crusade,
and then the other one would be on the law office. Mm-hmm. So that you can have interaction, visual interaction, when you're coming in and leaving the downtown. The third thing is the downtown facade improvement program, which will be based off of the neighborhood design manual.
We're almost done, David.
We're asking for funding for that to the tune of about $20,000 to $50,000 so that we can ask residents if they want to do facade improvements or downtown businesses. You know, if you meet these guidelines, these are, you know, funds that we can have available for you. And then the last one is annexation and boundary agreements. We've already updated our one with Sugar Grove. Mm-hmm. We're working with the one on Plano, and then we'll be moving forward with creating a new one with Joliet and Millbrook.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
It is important. And then the last thing is special projects. We've got some money that we think we can ask for in the next fiscal year, so not this one coming up, following year, where we're going to implement some of the overhead lighting elements that they were talking about in the plan.
Yes.
We need to make it 47. 47 is impossible. IDOT is not willing to get to scrap that. IDOT is not willing to let us have it in the right way.
Going across the downtown? Okay.
So yeah, going across the downtown. So we scrapped it. Then we looked at hydraulic, and we're like, okay, hydraulic would be great because we're going to probably, you know, make this pedestrian area. We couldn't. The train was an issue. The utility poles already was an issue. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have made sense. And then we had the light bulb go off. Van Emmon. So if we do Van Emmon on the east side, you know, east Van Emmon, where we have behind all of the businesses over there, now the deli, and going back to the Farm Bureau area, all the way back to I think we were going all the way to Houston, or was that Mill Street?
Houston.
All the way to
kind of like the downtown.
And then, so that'll be, you'll see that in the streetscape form base code that's coming up. So we think it's going to look really nice because not only will you have the element of the overhead lighting, canopy lighting, you're going to have the sidewalk cafes because that's one of the things that the law office wants to do, you know, really get into that. And you can have parklets, so you have, you know, in front of the band activity center, you have a parklet that you can buy that with our signage, with Jason's tactical urbanism sites. I think we can have more activity visually in the downtown. So we're working on it. And if there's any goals you guys think that we should be looking at for 2019, always feel free to share with us. Your email, your email, we will definitely try to.
Can we take the railroad tracks out of downtown?
I would like to see those poles taken down in front of the front end.
Yeah.
Wider period. Because that would really make the park look nice.
Which one's good? Which one's good?
Seeing there's nothing further on tonight's agenda, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.